everyone. Welcome to our broadcast. Today we are in John chapter 6. Stay tuned. John chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "And after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Well, while Philip is wondering what's going to happen here, we read in verse 8 that one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet which should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. What an interesting portion of scripture. In verse number 2, the focus is on the miracles, and because of the miracles, in verse number 2, we'll see we have a multitude of people that are following Jesus. Next thing we see is in verse number 3 that Jesus takes his disciples alone and gets up onto a mountain and has some time alone with them. And then when he comes down with his disciples in verse 28, we begin a message, and they ask the question, "What must we do to work the works of God?" They didn't like his message very much, and by the time we get to chapter 7 and verse number 1, they wanted to murder him. So we have the miracles, the multitudes, the mountain, the message. And if they had their way, they would have murdered him right then and there. Well, as we get into chapter 6, as I said, the focus is on the multitudes, the focus is on the miracles. They have crossed over, it says in verse number 1, "After these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias." Now, in the previous chapter, he had been rejected. He had been despised. To be rejected is to be dismissed as inappropriate or not to one's taste. They said, "No, we don't like you." They refused to agree with him. That's what it means to be rejected. "You're just not suitable in my circumstances." And they not only rejected him, they despised him. That is, they held him in contempt. Jesus was actually beneath consideration of the average person. And so it is today. We get to verse number 2. It says, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased." Miracles are extraordinary events, and the multitudes, they like that. They were attracted to Jesus in great numbers, great multitude, verse 2. Well, we look at verse number 3. It says, "Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples." And if you want to get the details of that, you need to look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, where he, for 3 chapters there, was talking with his disciples, and you can get the details of what went on that mountain. We read in verse number 4, "In the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw that great multitude come unto him, He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, the Passover was nigh. What is the purpose of the Passover? The whole purpose was to focus on the Lord and what he had done for them in taking them out of bondage in Egypt. But Jesus was not welcome at their Passover. To be welcome is to be greeted in a friendly way. They didn't greet him in a friendly way. They didn't even want him there. And, of course, that's just exactly the way it is today in our Laodicean age. We don't want you in here, Jesus. You can just stand out there on the porch and knock all you want to. You're not welcome in here. Well, in verse number 5, we read that Jesus saw the multitude, and in his mercy, when they were coming to him, he says to Philip, what are we going to do that all of these people can get something to eat? Well, Philip, he said this, the Bible says, to prove him, verse 6. Now, Philip had been traveling with Jesus for at least a year. We know that because the Passover was mentioned in John chapter 2, and it was mentioned again in John chapter 6, and it could have even been another year if we read about a feast here once. It doesn't tell us which feast it was, but if that was the feast of the Passover, it would have been more than 2 years. But he's been traveling with him for at least a year, and we find out here that Jesus said, I'm going to see if we can prove so that Philip knows exactly where he is and where he isn't. Here's a question. When the seemingly impossible situations come along, how long have you been traveling with Jesus? How many times has he failed? How many times has he let us down? Never, never. And so we can have a panic situation. Philip says, 200 pennyworths of bread, wouldn't even give them all a little nibble. Or we can just look for provisions. Verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, well, there's a little boy here, and this little boy's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? A little child with a little bit of food and 5,000 people. Well, there's a lad here. He just got a little bit of food. You know, it says in Psalm 78:10, can God furnish a table in the wilderness, they said? Yeah, a little bit of doubt there, I think. Well, the same thing is true here. There's not a whole lot of faith. And our testings at a time like this will reveal just how much faith we really have. Well, there's no sharp rebuke. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. He said, make the men to sit down. Now, what we're going to have here is we're going to eat some bread, and then we're going to have a message concerning the bread of life. So let them sit down, give them some bread, then we'll have the message. Well, what we have here is obedience. Obedience. Mine is not the reason why. Mine is just to do what he says to do. We don't have to figure it all out. So he says to his disciples, make the men sit down. They went and they did it. And they just were obedient, and obedient comes before the blessing. And so faith is one thing, obedience is another. Faith is what we believe, obedience is our behavior concerning what we say that we believe. Well, verse number 11, we see that Jesus prayed here, and then he uses something very small. He likes to do that. He used Moses' rod, very small, insignificant thing. He used David's slingshot, very small, very insignificant. A little boy with a little lunch, here he is, and they are distributing, Jesus distributes it to the disciples, and the disciples distribute it to the people. God uses human instruments. That's how we got saved. So, Dad, what you need to do is get the bread, take it, and give it out to your family. The pastor, what we need to do is get the bread and give it out to our congregations. Christians, what we need to do is get the bread and give it out to the people that we're working with every day. Get the bread and give it out. And so it says here, when it comes to the bread and when it comes to the fish, they gave them as much as they would. As much as they would. You can get as much as you want. You just come to the Lord, and he's not got any shortage of that bread. Well, it says in verse number 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When they were filled, Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Well, they had 12 baskets left over. They had 12 apostles. Can you imagine when those men came home and brought that bread home to their wives, what kind of reaction their wives had? Must have been a great day. Where did you get that bread? And they would have to tell them the story where it all came together. Well, we read in verse number 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is that prophet. Wow, he can meet our needs. Let's get him. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Oh, they just wanted him to meet their needs. He can kick out those Romans. He can heal our sick kids. He can feed us bread. He must be our king. Well, Jesus perceived, he knew it, their hearts. The Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 22 that he knew what was in the heart of all men. So in verse number 16 we read, and when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately it was at the land whither they went. Now we want the details of this particular trip. It's found in Matthew chapter 14. Our journey in life, you can rest assured, we're going to have our storms, and there's going to be those days when things seem to be really dark. Verse 17. Job said this in Job 30 and 26, when I waited for the light, there came darkness. Isaiah 45:3 talks about the treasures of darkness. In the last storm, Jesus was with them in the boat. In this storm, they are there by themselves. Well, you never learn how to sail a ship on calm waters. And here they are out there. The Lord is back on the mountain. He knows exactly what they're going through, and it's what they need. They needed to be in the dark for a while. They needed to realize, as did Job, when I looked for the light, then came darkness. There's the treasures of the darkness. One would do well to study that portion of Scripture. Well, in verse 18, it says, a great wind blew. A great wind. Boy, there's a lot of wind blowing around today in this age of apostasy that we are living in. And what did they do? It says here in verse number 19, they just kept rowing. So when they had rowed about 25 furlongs, they just kept rowing. And that is all that is required of them, and it is all that is required of us in this Laodicean age of apostasy coming in like a flood. What we need to do is just keep rowing. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 says, blessed are all they that wait for him. Just keep rowing. And as they did that, we read in verse number 19, so when they had rowed, we see here, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Yeah, you get enough storms, you get enough darkness, and then we will be willingly receiving him into the ship. And immediately, the Bible says, the ship was on the other side. What an interesting portion of Scripture. Well, be sure to be with us again tomorrow. We'll pick it up from here. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.